Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for checking in with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Great Disney talk to wrap up yet another work week. Heading into the Mother's Day weekend, so don't forget to say I love you to the mom in your life. We're getting ready to play win, lose, or meh, so play right along with us. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are awesome. They advocate for their guests each and every day. When you work with the Magic for Less agent, you have a partner in planning. You have a friend who's going to be there for you to help you out with anything you need. But they're going to help you have a great vacation at the lowest price possible. Of course, right now, free dining's out there. Enchanted Escape as well. Lots of discounts for the fall and winter of 2018. And we're patiently waiting for 2019. We'll be jumping on that here in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we expect. So check them out. All the great services are right there on their website. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. And please let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Thanks again to everybody using that Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show. You get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra. It's one extra click. You can bookmark it right there on all your devices. And anytime you do that online shopping, whether you need socks, sweats, shoes, or maybe an extra battery for your next Disney trip, whatever it is, just click through the link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1327 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Check it out on all your connected devices. We are back on TuneIn, so you can call out to your Amazon Echo, your Google Home, or you can just go to the app and you can just go to MagicalMouseRadio.com. Great Disney music. Yay. We're adding more each and every day, so yay, check that out. Isn't that awesome? We're even adding the Pandora background stuff here soon, so we're working on that now. It might actually be on there by now. So, yeah, exactly.
Mom.
I know. Ooh, banshees. All right, anyway, we are going to be having some fun.
Like,
kind of like a cat. Anyway, we are going to have a good time talking Disney today. We're going old school. We're going old Betamouse. I'm going to pretend like I'm Henry from back in the day. And we're going to go win, fail, or meh with some Disney topics. So joining me to have a little fun on a Friday, Ricky's from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, any big events where you're having your sidekick, Len Testa, join you this weekend? I know it was last weekend you did, but anything like that it's Mother's Day weekend. Are you doing anything for that?
It is Mother's Day weekend.
Seen,
no,
your mom,
I'm
not. Donna, coming down.
I'm here in Atlanta. Yeah, I'm not going home. Not saying hi to mom. I probably will call her. That's what she'll get.
If I see your mom around town, I'll tell you said hello.
Thanks. Yes. Yeah. I have to go home the first weekend of June, so I'll give her Mother's Day present then. How does that sound? Mom, you get your Mother's Day present the first weekend of June. Sorry.
You could say Happy Mother's Day though. She listens.
I told you I'll call her.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, well, if you say Happy Mother's Day right now.
I will FaceTime my mother on Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
There you go. She gets to see my lovely face.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, Happy Mother's Day to you this weekend.
I know, right? It's so great. And I'm going to be away from my child.
That's even better.
Wow. I wasn't really looking forward to it, but anyway, it's just kind of weird. We just don't typically do that. It has happened a few other times probably in our lives. But anyway, when you said episode 1327.
That's right, isn't it? I hope it is.
That's the number of episodes we've recorded?
That is correct.
No, actually, if you look at the actual count, it's about 14, 19. Oh. I think if we add all of the extra shows we've done, like live shows we used to do on Sunday nights, we're well over 1,400 at this point.
Crazy.
I know.
That is crazy.
Seriously. When you think about things that you've done in your life 1,400 times.
Right? Talking to you guys.
We're going to keep this rated G. I'm just saying that things you've done in your life 1,400 times. I mean, who would have thought podcasting?
That's it. That's what we do, you know. Kick button podcasting. I'm not kicking any butt today, so there you go.
Sorry.
All right, so anyway, we're doing the old win, fail, or meh that Betamouse kind of brought about. We had a good time with that over the years. We'll just bring out a Disney topic, and we'll either rate it a win, a fail, or a meh, depending on what we think. So I'm going to kick us off here. And again, chat room here at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We're usually recording live around 5:30 Eastern on Monday nights. So if you want to get in on the fun, especially before and between and after shows, lots of fun. You're missing out. Or go, you can go watch the video if you listen to the audio feed. It's always up on the thing. If you got to invest a little time there because they're both together. But I don't think you'll be sorry that you listened to it. Anyway, so I'm going to kick it off with the...
Well, you might be.
Could be. I don't know. So anyway, I'm kicking this one off and throwing it out to you ladies with win, fail, or meh, Disney After Hours. Because this is newly announced.
You took my first one.
That's why I went first. That's exactly why I went first. You worried me on Wednesday when you talked about it in the news at the end. So anyway... I want to throw this one in and ask you if this is a win. Well, I think I know where Ricky's going to go from Wednesday's show, a fail or a meh. So let's start off with Ricky because I think I know her answer, but give your rating on Disney After Hours.
So I think it's a win, and the obviously, and the reason I think it's a win is because from my understanding, the parks are eerily empty, like no one around kind of situation. Even when they sell out, from what I've seen, like it's just crazy how empty the parks are. Plus you get all the popcorn, ice cream, bottled beverages that you want. You know, to me, this just, it seems like a really, really good idea, especially for those who are maybe doing a quick weekend or, you know, something like that, a really quick trip. I feel like this is a really good opportunity to get on all the attractions that you want to get on for a very, it's kind of reasonable. It's $119. It's, I think, $124 if you buy it at the gate. But I mean, think of all the stuff that you're going to get to do. I mean, you can pretty much do in 3 hours, majority of what you do during the day, you know, because of a normal day, because there's just nobody there. So I think that's actually not a bad deal, all things considered.
All right.
If you can swing it.
Okay. We have a win. Pam, what do you say to after Disney After Hours?
So I'm going to give this 2 thumbs way up. I think it's definitely a win, especially when you look at the price of ticketing now as it is. I think that this allows you to get so much done in a short period of time. The fact that it has the thing, you know, the food and drink included, I think is awesome too. That's a great thing. But just to be able, when you look at the price of this compared to even the price, I think, of the Halloween party or the Christmas party, that makes this a huge value in terms of that. You're really going to be able to get things done.
And it's the same amount of time, roughly. I mean, 7 o'clock in the evening.
For sure.
You know.
For sure. I just think it's a great service that Disney is offering. I think that if you're taking a shorter trip or if you just want time to enjoy your vacation, imagine if you can, you know, most people, when they go on a week-long Disney vacation, they are spending at least 2 days at the Magic Kingdom, if not more. And even then, you're not getting as much done as you're going to get for this. You know, I think in this period of time, everyone that we have had go to these has come back and raved about it. Even people who were like, I was kind of on the fence, but let's say my spouse or whoever I was traveling with wanted to go. Then they came back and was like, I loved this. So I have not heard, you know, very many complaints about this. And I think it was just something, you know, for people who want to go get a lot of attractions done and do it, I think it's a big win.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody I've heard that's gone to this, I know my good friend Mark from up near Chicago, he went to this and just wrote me an email like the next morning, like, this thing was awesome, man. This was so cool. I'm going to go a win, but for a different reason. I'm not going to go to this because I'm not going to pay for my family of 3 or 4. Plus, I've become a morning person and I'm not a night person anymore because I like to get up and run before it gets hot and everything. And here's why I say it's a win for me, though. Maybe it'll pull people, and it's not going to be many because it's not very many tickets, but maybe it'll pull a few people out of the daytime. Maybe they're going to chill out during the day or the next day. They're not going to be at the Magic Kingdom. So what it does is maybe it dilutes the crowd slightly. It's very, very slightly. I get that. But it gives an opportunity for folks that want to do this and spend a little extra money to do that. I think it would be great. I think it was Justin that said in the chat that it's a great option for like an adults only trip. You know, I like folks having options, even if I'm not going to be one of those people taking advantage of that. I like that. The only thing I'm worried about, and I didn't really consider this till I heard Len Testa talking about this on a podcast a couple months back, is that if you think about it, you know, these theme parks were originally built for you know, a set number of hours, you know, say like from 9 to 6 or 9 to 10 or not, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, not to be, these really aren't built to be 24 hour destinations. And when you add things like this more and more, and when you only have like, say, 6 hours down during a 24 hour period, that's a lot of draw on, you know, things like roller coasters and boat rides and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, Disney's gonna have to look long term, that, you know, that more and more people are going and they want to have more. There's only so many hours in the day, but eventually you got to watch, you know, these things aren't made to be 24/7. You know, I think that's something that I think they're going to run into that with the gondolas. They had a show about that too, about capacity issues possibly with the gondolas. So I just think about things like that, but it's a win because people get more options. All right. So Pam, give us your first one for win, fail, or meh.
So my win, fail, or meh I'm going to put out there is the Happily Ever After dessert party. We had mentioned this on Wednesday, and we had said recently that we just had the chance to experience that. And you can choose from either one. Just to give a little background here, you can choose from either the one where you get food at Tomorrowland Terrace and then sit there. You have tables to enjoy Happily Ever After, or you can also get one where you get the food there at Tomorrowland Terrace, but then you have a spot to go and sit over in the garden area of those, one of those little locations that Disney created when they did the hub renovation. You can sit on the grass or stand or do whatever you want. And what do y'all think about that? Is that a win, fail, or a meh?
So Ricky, go first. What do you think on that one?
So for me, because Brian doesn't eat desserts and a lot of them, and really doesn't, it seems like a meh to me. I personally, if it was me going, I would say it would be a win. But because I have to bring him with me usually, it's going to be a meh just because I personally wouldn't get the value out of it. Now, if it's just me, like I said, I think it's more of a win because I can put away desserts. And I think that the plaza viewing area, is that what you said? That's the one out in the main hub area. I think that that's going to be, especially because it's a little cheaper. I think that that's a major win. Now, I did used to watch Wishes at the time in the Tomorrowland Terrace area, and it's a decent area to watch it. It's where it was well before they started doing the dessert parties, so it was before you had to pay for the dessert party, and it was free to sit there. When it was free to sit there, it was fine because, you know, but the view is a little obstructed. So, you know, I think that I think it's a win definitely if you're going to go sit in the plaza area, but I think it's a meh if you sit in the terrace area. I know there's so many layers to this. I didn't know that there would be.
You know, this one's rough for me because I had the best time ever when we did this as the travel agency. We went down, we got to do the dessert party, and it was with the fellow agents at the Magic for Less. So it was just a great camaraderie kind of thing. We're sitting around having a good time, unlimited desserts. I mean, it was like the best time ever. Then to get to see the fireworks from a perspective that I had never seen them. Happily Ever After was incredible that night just because of, you know, you had elbow room. Like, you just don't have that typically. And we had a perfect viewing spot. So it was amazing. I loved it. But on a typical trip for me, it would almost be a meh because here's why, is that I'm willing to invest a little time, and it doesn't bother me being in crowds too much. I'm Disney-fied. I know how it is. Like, I'm good at just kind of like, you know, I'm 6'3", so I can kind of give these and get a little space if I need to. You know what? Like, I got a, you know, 10-foot wingspan. Not that I'm going to do that to anybody, but I can, you know, I've been known to just kind of create a little space when needed. And like, what I've done is I've built my own dessert party for like $6 or $7. You know, I give Pam, or, you know, tell Paige, she's got the Magic Band or whatever, you know, hey, go over to Tune In Lounge if we're watching the Star Wars fireworks, get us some peanut butter and jelly milkshakes, or, you know, go up to the plaza, get an ice cream. You know, one of us makes an ice cream run while we're waiting. So, I mean, that's one of those things that for a special event, it's definitely a win because when you're doing that event, you totally feel like a VIP. You feel like royalty. And when you leave, you're just like on a high because it is such a rock star experience. So it's a win in that case. But for most trips, I'd say it's a meh because I can kind of make do and save some bucks. So, you know, maybe use it for something else. So either way. All right, Ricky, give us yours.
So recently at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they rolled out in Pandora, the World of Avatar, the new Pandora Conservation Initiative utility suit. So what are your thoughts on this new kind of entertainment option in Pandora World of Avatar. Mike, I'm going to go with you first.
I'm going to say this is a win because it's going to give little kids nightmares, like I've said on the show. No, just kidding. It will, though, for real. It's like that's like, that's the high chair thing. I'm seriously kind of freaking out just thinking about it. But I like to see Disney push the envelope and try things. You know, I was one of the few, I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, but we just happened to be in the right place at the right time way back in the day when Lucky the Dinosaur was over at Animal Kingdom back in Dino Land. And that sucker was so cool. Like, it was totally autonomous. Like, it walked. I mean, it looked, yeah, it was so real looking. I mean, it was crazy. You know, of course, there was a couple handlers there with it. But I remember watching that thing thinking, this is like unreal. It's like untethered. It's moving around. And it was cool to see Disney pushing the envelope with that. And I think that's what they're doing here. Now, am I super excited about it? Like, if I see it, you know, this summer when we're down there in July, that'd be awesome. If I don't, I'm not going to worry if I don't see it. But the thing is like, I think Disney needs to do these things. I think that's why it's a win, because as soon as Disney stops doing these things, you know, really pushing the envelope with what an animatronic can be and the interaction with their guests, they lose. So I go to Disney for them to do cutting edge things, and this is cutting edge. So it's a win in that instance for me. So Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of feel that it's a win because, like you, Mike, I feel like Disney has to keep pushing, has to keep moving forward. And the only way that you're going to do that is by creating, testing these little experiences. And that Disney is a master at testing things and then getting feedback. Survey, survey, survey. You know, they do that. See how the guests responded to, you know, anytime they have any kind of new entertainment thing, there are people there behind you that have the clipboard out that are writing things down. They're watching guest reactions. They're seeing how many people showed up. They're doing all that. So if you ever want anything to change, you have to do that. And I think that Pandora has a lot more opportunities for some kind of interaction than they're doing right now, mostly because up until this point, there wasn't space to do it, right? Because it was just so busy all the time. Now we're getting to the point where while the line may not be decreasing that much, there's still space in there. You can go in there, walk around, enjoy the area. And I think that this is great to see there. And I love that they continue to pull things in from the movies. I think that that's integral too. Once you have something there that is themed towards something, you might as well use all the resources at your disposal. If you're having something that's themed towards a movie, look at the other characters in that movie, look at what they're eating, look at what they're drinking, listening to, everything. Bring it in because it makes more of an immersive experience.
All right. Agreed. Okay. My second one, here we go. This one is kind of, I just want to hear your thoughts on it. Customize magic bands, because they have, you know, at first, you know, we got magic bands and you got basically like the 8 colors, which I have 1,000 of here on the mic boom. And then I remember the first time we were down there for the, now this was like right when Frozen first came to the studios. And remember they had the ice skating rink and they had like a little shopping area. I remember this was, you guys, I was there. I remember I was waiting in line. I remember talking to Deb Wills. Like, we were like just dying to get in there because you could buy a Frozen magic band. That was one of the very first ones. Mallory's is right here. It's sitting on the boom. And so, you know, that was like a special thing. And then over the years, now there's a magic band for everything. So with nothing else said, you know, now they're out there in a million different variations. Win, fail, or meh for all these customized magic bands, Pam, and why? What do you think?
I don't have an issue with this. For me, I have so many bands that it's crazy, right? I mean, I just have tons and tons of bands. I've made wreaths out of them. I've used them for Christmas ornaments, whatever. But I will say I was really drawn to like the black band and the pink band. I wanted those bands. So even I still get excited about a different kind of magic band. So if you want to personalize it for something, I say, yeah, it's a great way to express yourself. You're going to be wearing it. I have looked at the little thing that you can put on your Apple Watch. And that wouldn't work for me.
No, I don't think so either. Because Instagram shows me that like every fifth picture. And I'm like, I just want to use my Apple Watch. Like, seriously, I don't want a little dangle.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to put something on it. And I won't like how that feels between my existing band and my wrist. I can do the magic band because I just make it really big and it kind of flops around in there and it doesn't bother me. But I think you're wearing it. You have to wear it. You might as well have a way to express your personality in that. And I love, you know, I love to see when someone has a band that they're clearly in love with. I mean, really, they truly, truly do. You can see like little kids, you know, they have like whatever special attraction or movie or whatever is on there, and they're just wearing it with pride. And I love to see that. So any way that you can personalize it, because it helps you make a connection with someone. I mean, I've started conversations with people about the Magic Band. I'm like, oh, I love your Haunted Mansion band. That looks awesome. You know, and they're like, I love the Haunted Mansion, you know, da da da. And they go into a story. So I think things like that help you make a connection with other guests. So I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm always like, is that a Ben Lappin, like Magic for Less Magic Band? Like, really? That's awesome.
He did do those great things awesome. For us to put on the Magic Band.
Absolutely. All right, Ricky, your thoughts on customized Magic Bands?
I think I'm kind of more in the meh category, although Pam was kind of winning me over with her conversation there. So
I like compelling.
You did compel a little bit. But I feel like, I don't know, I don't need the fancy Magic Band. Like, I'm perfectly fine with my regular, just, I'm simple. I like my purple Magic Band.
Ricky, you know what you are? You're basic.
I am basic.
I know that term now. I just learned that term.
So I've got my basic ears on and everything. Now, I think that I get the reason why they, you know, would want to have a special Magic Band. But for me, I'm perfectly fine with just the regular ones. So I'm a meh personally. But I understand the desire for others to get a different Magic Band.
All right, so I'm a win on this one because I think the thing is, like Pam said, is that, you know, it's always cool to have your favorite character, favorite, you know, whatever is your style, you know, like a Buzz Lightyear for me, or, you know, some kind of, you know, customized one like with Space Mountain or something like that, you know, my favorite ride. Because the thing is, we go a lot. I think we are the exception to the rule. A lot of folks are going to go down, kids, they're going to wear this thing as a souvenir for a long time after the trip. And I think that's a cool thing to remember, that these Magic Bands could be a really good souvenir. And Craig kind of beat me to the punch in the chat, because I think what Disney should do, I've thought this for years, the more that they've come out with all these Magic Bands, is that when it comes time to customize your Magic Band on My Disney Experience, they should have a link that says, if you would like to get, you know, instead of the 8 basic Magic Bands, if you would like for $10 a band more, because, you know, they're already going to send them to you and so forth, you know, but just like for $10 a band more, here's a link and you can shop all these different ones, you know, with all the characters and all the movies and what have you, the attractions. I think that's and then they just, you know, I know it costs them money, but they could charge a price where they're making money. It's going to be a moneymaker for them. And then just think of the excitement when your family gets those really personalized Magic Bands at your house. I think that's an opportunity for Disney to really do it right. I think that would be a way to, you know, connect with folks and, you know, upsell. So that's what I've always thought. Because I would do that not every trip, but every once in a while. You know, maybe just get a new one. They're fun. All right. Oh, Opie's back. All right. Anyway, so Pam, give us your next win, fail, or meh. Be good, Opie.
So I'm saying this one and I'm a little scared because I know that there are some distinct feelings on this one. But in the values and the moderates, they have been replacing some of the toiletries. I know, right? They have been replacing some of the bigger the body gel, conditioner, and shampoos with bigger pumps that are in the shower. And they have been replacing them, at least at the moderates, with a more expanded toiletries list. They have like some foot rub in there and some, you know, some cool toiletries, a vanity kit, some solar rub, some mouthwash, stuff like that. So, I mean, they're kind of posh, right?
They are.
Is that a win, fail, or a meh for you? And first of all, I will add that Disney says that one of the reasons why they're doing this is to help save on some of the packaging. I mean, you can imagine 8 million little bottles of shampoo every day probably aren't that great for the environment. So that's part of their green initiative, which is part of their hotel cause. So anyways, I'm asking, what do y'all think of that?
So are you saying, is it a win, fail, or meh for like having the shampoo, conditioner, and body soap mounted to the wall as opposed to you being able to steal
it? And having the additional toiletries too. Yep. You get both.
Yeah, because you get the little, like you said, vanity kit that's got like a little thing you clean your ear out with? What's that called? The Q-tip? You know, stuff like that.
You mean the thing you're not supposed to clean your ear with? Yes.
They absolutely do not clean your ear with this thing.
Whatever. Little fuzzy thing. And then you got, you know, like, but the like solar gel is, that's such a great idea because everybody gets sunburned on there. You know, like that's something that is so useful. So Ricky, what are your thoughts on the new mounted and then some, you know, minor toiletries that you can steal?
I mean, I feel like this is a double-edged sword for me. If you're getting additional toiletries that you weren't getting before, because I haven't been to the resorts yet when they've had the additional toiletries. As long as you get the additional toiletries, and then they'll have the rack up in the shower, I think that's okay. I guess would be more of a win. But if they make it so that like that you, the only reason you were getting the additional toiletries is because it was at Coronado and, you know, they have all the construction there and stuff like that. And then they just go to, hey, you just get the toilet, you know, the rack of shampoo, conditioner and soap and no additional toiletries in the future, then I think that's going to be a fail. So, I think if they continue to offer the additional toiletries, I'm all in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Pam, I can't believe you went there. This is like refillable mugs. I mean, come on now.
You're treading on
thin ice.
It's tough because like I like to take home the little bottles of shampoo and conditioner and soap. However, I also have bags and bags full of shampoo, conditioner, and soap too. So like I get that I'm probably, you know, part of the problem.
You know, here's the deal, though. I say this is a win because it's saving my marriage. Let me just tell you why. Because my wife has told me if I bring home any more bottles of shampoo and conditioner, which I don't even use conditioner most of the time, or whatever else they give us at Disney, she's like, we have a small house. There's a closet. See that door behind me? If you're watching live on Facebook, there's a closet right behind that door. It is almost completely full with bottles of soap that I hardly ever use. But I have them. And I have all the versions. Like I have the round discs. Yep. I have the black Mickey ones.
I still have black Mickey ones too.
I have the little
yes.
tubes with the Mickey head. You know, I got yes. those. I have everything, man. I have the H2O tube. I have it all, man. I should start a store. But I'm just saying, like,
I have Alani ones.
Well, I don't have that. There you go. I'm just saying, you know what? It's one of those things that convenience-wise, it was great having them mounted on the wall. Except for when they changed the order on me the last night of my stay and tried to kill me. They're doing that. Don't do that, Disney. Keep them consistent. There's a rule. Like I'm a rule follower. I just don't trick me. But, you know, once I had that, it was great. And the little toiletries worked out well. So I say that's a win. Pam, final thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I'm a toiletries hoarder as well. I mean, we need a 12-step program, yes, I guess, yes. apparently. I have a huge, in our guest bathroom, we have a huge, big apothecary, jar that yes. I put them in, you know, for guests as they stay at our
That's
house.
Really smart.
And I have full-size bottles of them in the guest shower, too, for people. But I put them in there. I really love that. I think that there was some criticism that Disney was cheaping out, but honestly, there's a couple of reasons why I love that. First of all, you're getting a bunch of toiletries that you never got before, and they're likely more expensive than the toiletries
right.
that you used to get. I mean, 100%. Solar gel is expensive. In addition, I will tell you, as a mom who travels with a daughter, that little conditioner that they gave us was not enough for one night for both of us. We both have that kind of hair that like just sucks up the conditioner. This way I can like, you know, use conditioner to my heart's content.
That's what I did at Coronado. I had so much shampoo because like I'd always like, you know, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna make this one last a week so that I get all the rest of them and I get to take them home. So I'd use a little dab, you know, like this time I was like, pom, 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 pom.
I know, right?
I had so much shampoo.
Lather up, baby. You got all the shower gel that you need. So I love that too. And I just thought it was really cool. I loved seeing the other toiletries that were there, you know, that were at the resorts. I loved the solar gel, loved the foot scrub, loved all those vanity kits. Just, I love stuff like that. So that's the stuff that I really would appreciate. And I thought it was a big win.
I'm sure my housekeeper thought that I was bathing an elephant in my room because of how much I was.
She's like, every day, what is it with this dude?
This must be the cleanest dude at Walt Disney World, man. He uses a whole can of it every day. Anyway, all right, Ricky's. Okay. I love when Feller Matt. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. I forgot I had to come up with a different answer. Okay. All right. So recently, Walt Disney World has decided that they are going to get rid of their original kind of kids clubs and now move towards this Pixar Play Zone, a giant single kids club, it seems like, where it's kind of like the cruise line in a way, where kids are going to be able to partake in activities throughout the night, like Space Ranger training and the Piston Cup Challenge and
you did what in your cup?
Yeah, exactly. That. So God, you're such a 12-year-old boy, Mike. I'm just saying. So anyway,
such
a 12-year-old boy. But it's $65 for the night, and dinner is included for your child. So is this a win, a fail, or a met? And Pam, I'm going to go to you first.
Because you're mad.
Because I can't do it with Mike. So
Ricky can't even.
That's it. I can't even, Mike.
You're so basic.
I can't even.
No, so I really consider this a win for a couple of reasons. First of all, when Hannah was younger, we used to, you know, she wanted to do this every now and then. She was an only child. It was fun for her to play with other kids. So she actually asked to do this. And it was odd at different times because, like, she was creepily the only child there some evenings. And it was like, or maybe one of two, you know what I mean? Yeah. So the kids clubs weren't always as busy as you kind of hoped they were, just because they could play with other kids and stuff like that. Now, instead of eliminating that, Disney's kind of consolidated this, I think, into one. And I think it'll be good for a couple of reasons. They'll have a more concentrated area to kind of focus on. They'll be sure to offer, I think, great events for the kids. You know that they're good at that. There'll be more kids who are there to play in it. I just think it's a win for everybody. And it, you know, I think if it's something that does well, I can totally see Disney rolling this out to other resorts again. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that the kids clubs are used as often, you know, as they would
in the original form. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So now, instead of eliminating them, they're just making a different way of doing it.
Right.
I'm going to say a win, too, because I think that it's more cutting edge and it's kind of getting where kids are. You know, it has to be, you know, very character focused and lots of experiences to be had, where I think that the kids clubs, while I heard great things about them at the, you know, at the resorts, it's kind of the old, it's not like this, but it's more like, you know, when you would take your kid to the bowling alley and they had the room in the corner and they'd throw your kid in there while you bowled. It wasn't that at Walt Disney World. But I mean, this is more like cutting edge. And this is something that I think a kid is going to beg to go to, rather than like, oh, do I have to go there? Like, oh, can I go to the Pixar thing? That's sweet. Because that's kind of what the kids say on the cruise line. Like, it's one of those things that if they don't go there, they're disappointed. So I think that Disney's kind of taking it to the next level and the kids are going to like it, I think. Again, I don't have any experience really with either, but that's just what I'm guessing. So last one. All right, here's one for you. This is going to be my last one for the day, so we got one more each. Evening extra magic hours. Win, fail, or meh? I'm not going to say anything else. Ricky, what do you say?
I still think they're a win, because even though they cut them back from 3 hours to 2 hours a little bit ago, I still appreciate them, because as a night owl, I tend to, you know, stay in the parks later, and I appreciate it because it's usually cooler in the parks too, because obviously it's dark. I do notice that they are, I mean, given that I don't go to morning ones, they are a little heavier attended than probably the morning ones are, but I still like the evening extra magic hours.
All right, got a win for Ricky. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I'll say a win as well. And for me, the reason really is I noticed that before they had cut those hours, as you were there toward the later part of those hours, you were one of the few folks there, by the way, which is awesome if you're one of the 10 people in the park. But from a cost perspective, that's not something that enough people are utilizing to really make that worth Disney's while. And I think since they've have reduced the hours for two hours, you really see that more people are taking advantage of that. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, you know, I'm okay for it to be in a win-win. A win for Disney and a win for me. I don't feel like I'm competing against Disney right. to have a great vacation. I feel like it's a benefit that they're offering, and I'm able to take advantage of it. So it's a win for us.
Here's how I go with this one. I say it's a win at Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. It is a fail at Epcot and at the studios. Because I just think that it just, there's not a whole lot to do, especially the studios. The studios a fail. I would say Epcot, I would say the studios for extra Magic Hours in the evenings a fail right now until maybe Toy Story Land opens. Epcot is a meh, and Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom are a win. So I'll say that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because there's more to do. And I would also, the thing is, like, a lot of people love the evening extra. You get your, I always tell everybody, get more bang for your buck with the morning extra Magic Hours if you can do it, because not that many people are going to get up. And plus, there's only, you know, like, people linger from the regular day and like, well, we'll stay. You know, like, they didn't plan to, but we're here. Why not? Let's hang out for another hour. But the thing is, like, you have to make a conscious effort to get there for extra Magic Hours in the morning. And, like, people like Ricky aren't going to be there most of the time.
No,
so,
I don't want to be there.
You know, I say that morning ones are always a win. Evening ones are hit or miss, depending on the situation. All right, Pam, give us your last one.
So mine was the practice of tiering the FastPass choices at the different parks. Is that a win feel or a meh?
Let me just say that over Cinco de Mayo on Saturday, I was helping a friend, the friend that we're going to see her girls dance at ESPN in July. Not, you know, a Disney person. I gave her the unofficial guide, gave her some, you know, books and stuff. We're trying to make her fast passes. She makes her fast passes later this week. So we're trying to give her some strategies. And I'm going, of course, Cinco de Mayo. I'm eating, you know, Mexican food. We're having margaritas. And it's a loud restaurant on Cinco. And I'm trying to explain the tiered system at Epcot and what we should do at the studios. I'm like, oh my gosh, could this be any harder at a Mexican restaurant? So yeah, good point. Okay, so Ricky, you go first on that. What do you think about the tiers?
I thought you were answering the question.
No, I'm just saying that was just my situation with the tiers. So go ahead. That's kind of a little teaser.
Yeah, I think that especially for a new person, the tiering is so confusing. You know, first of all, you know, newbies don't even know what the attractions are. So, you know, there's no way they're able to choose effectively what rides they want to choose from. So I get why Disney does it, and it's a way to disperse the crowds to the more popular attractions and the lesser popular attractions, and I understand that, but you know, it's very hard, especially right now, with like Disney Hollywood Studios here before Toy Story Land is opening up. I really only need like one fast pass, two fast passes, and I'm good there. You know, like it's not like I don't need to make the second tier fast passes, because I can typically get in those things without the fast pass in the first place. Same thing going forward with, you know, with once Toy Story Land opens, they're kind of, if you want one of the Toy Story Land attractions, I get it. You know, you can choose one of those three attractions. But then if you don't want one of those three attractions, then you do have, it does make it kind of one of those, you can choose any fast pass at that point. So, I find it more to be a fail, just because it's so confusing. But I understand why Disney does it. I just think that it's such a confusing process.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a fail. I get why Disney does it. They're trying to kind of equalize the crowds, and that's what we want, because you don't want to be, you know, everybody going for the same thing, but you just got to limit how many fast passes there are available at any given attraction, and that's it. You know what?
And
then what's going
to
happen is
you stand
by the ones that you have to get fast passes for. You know, like, you know, if I can do Soarin', Test Track, and Frozen Ever After at Epcot, and if I'm lucky enough to get those, And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to stand by Spaceship Earth and Seas with Nemo and Friends. I'm going to stand by or just pick out a spot for Illuminations. You know what? It's just, it's kind of a crapshoot there, but I would say I get why they're doing it, but it's a fail because it is confusing. Pam, your thoughts?
So I'm really torn on this, because I actually see it, especially for all those folks who love to spout, well, Walt would have wanted whatever, that they should be the ones that are all about the fast pass tiers, because otherwise, people would be able to snag up all the reservations for the popular attractions all the time. And I know that so many folks actually want everyone to believe that this is one of the reasons why there are lines at some of the other attractions. I can absolutely tell you that one of the reasons why there are so many lines at even less popular attractions is because there are just simply more people in the parks. Yeah. There are more people than there used to be in the parks. That's, you know, you can see that when you look around, and that happens everywhere. So I think right now it really, I'm going to go ahead and call it a strong meh to a win, because it is really the system that allows people to have access to these. This way you can't have someone going in and, you know, using up all, taking all the Flight of Passage and the Navi River, leaving it, you know, really challenging for other people to get those attractions or input whatever popular attraction it is. There are many that are you know, out there and available to get, that, and this helps limit that. It also makes it so that if you're traveling during a time that you know, things are really busy, you still know that you are going to be able to get something typically in both of those tiers. And I think that's important to do. That it's just, you know, it is a system that we use. I think it would be really challenging to find a more fair way to go ahead and do that and still have the same result.
Yeah, I absolutely get it. Like, it, I totally understand it. I can see your point, Pam, 100%. Like, it's not like I don't understand. It just can be frustrating, especially for newbies.
I get it. Yeah. I mean,
you know that more than anybody else.
Rarely use my tier two fast pass at Epcot, or if I do, you know, I will say I have been doing it recently. I just go ahead and pick the land and pick Spaceship Earth, because we do like both of those attractions. Right. But sometimes I pick Nemo. So, you know what? At other times, here's the other win for this in this space. At other times, it does kind of encourage you to take advantage of some of the attractions that you may not have done. Sometimes if it weren't for FastPass, there's no way I would be going back there to do Spaceship Earth. I mean, I've done it maybe 100 million times in my life. And the FastPass kind of gives me the little nudge to be like, girl, go there. You have this, like, reservation. It almost seems more special, right? Like, you're invited to go to Spaceship Earth today.
I like that way of thinking, Pam.
Get to walk through that line like, I got a FastPass. Yeah, so. All right, Ricky, close us out. What's our last topic for win, fail, or meh?
All right, so this summer, Be Our Guest Restaurant is going to be changing into a signature dining experience for dinner only. It's going to be, you get an appetizer, entree, and dessert with it. It starts July 27th. It costs $55 for adults, $35 for kids, or it is 2 table service credits on the Disney Dining Plan. So, do we think that this is moving the dinner portion to a signature dining experience is a win, a fail, or a meh? So, Mike.
It's a meh. It's a meh to me, because the thing is like, dining, you know, it doesn't matter what it's rated or what they make it a signature or do that. You know what? It's an experience that you're going to have at dining, and it goes, you know, it's not going to affect me either way. If I want to do it, okay. It's a signature dining experience that's been plused. But I'm not one to do those things. Dining doesn't drive my Walt Disney World vacations for the most part. I mean, I have good meals, but my meals are more the Sleepy Hollow chicken waffle sandwich or the corn dog nuggets at Casey's or Kona Cafe. You know, I'm more of a kind of like a moderate level to snacky guy. So if they do that, more power to them. That's great for the guests that are going over there. But for me, it is that's a solid meh. So Pam, what do you think?
You almost failed it.
Almost. But I mean, it's meh because it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to fail it because other people are going to like it. But for me personally, it's a meh. It's right down the middle.
So for me, I think it was needed. I think it was needed to maybe try to curtail some of the popularity at Be Our Guest. It was really becoming sort of a point of discontent for folks, because people really buy into the whole, like, I want to eat there. I have to eat there to have a good trip. And it's such a challenge right now. And I think Disney's really good at assessing that. You know, this is really, you've got to find a way to wane that popularity a little bit. And even if that's decreasing, you know, the number of people who can possibly attend. That's one way of doing it. And that's a way of doing it. We were never going to see that. The other issue is, I don't think the price is completely out of line for a prefix meal in that space. I mean, $55 is not that bad for that kind of experience at all. And so I think it may, you know, for me, it's a meh or a win. I'm not super, Be Our Guest is not my cup of tea, as one would say. It's just not. And I think it allows them to maybe do produce a higher quality of food, because they're going to have, it's not going to be so much just like cranking people to get there to get through the reservations that they have for that night. This gives them an opportunity to kind of shine. And I would love to see them do that. If they do, then I'm more willing to go back and try it again. I've been there a few times. It's been fine. It's just not what I'm looking for in that experience. So I'm going to call it a meh to a win.
What about you, Ricky? I think Pam, the point you make too, and this is what I'm getting out of it, is that when you're looking at the price, you got to look at it not as just a meal, but as an experience. You know, because with Be Our Guest, it's the, you know, it's the getting in there and, you know, eating inside the storybook of the movie, and it's the ambiance as well. So, Ricky, what do you say?
Yeah, I think of it more as a, I know this is going to sound weird, but I kind of think of it more of as a win, because the fact of the matter is that it's, as Pam was kind of saying, it's not super expensive for a full meal, like an appetizer, entree, and dessert for, you know, for each person at $55. Now, of course, you know that's going to go up as soon as they, like, you know, a month into it, it's going to go to 60, 65, you know, 70. And then at that point, I might balk at it a little bit more and say it's more of a meh. But, you know, really, when I sit down and think about it, it's, you know, it's a full three-course meal for the $55. It's hopefully going to be a little more upscale of a dining experience in the food quality. I would hope that that would be the case. I feel like the desserts are going to be better, because the desserts that they have now are really just cupcakes. And I mean, you know, that's not super fancy or anything like that for dinner. It's just a cupcake. So I think that this is more bordering on the win side of things, because I think overall it's going to be a better meal, and cost-wise, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much more than it was if you ordered all three things separately at Be Our Guest as the way it is now. So hopefully it's just going to be a better meal as far as quality goes moving forward. Hopefully.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Again, drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Impose your win, fail, or meh this weekend, and we'll answer those. Pam and Ricky and I will drop in and offer those up, and also all of our listeners will drop in. It's just a lot of fun to talk Disney this way and get your thoughts on things, because we all have different opinions, and, you know, we value things differently, and I love that. That's why I love having the podcast, because we have such a diverse audience coming from all different angles when it comes to what you want to get out of your Disney vacation, that it's fun to have these kind of, you know, situations, because we can all learn from each other. I learned a lot today, so I appreciate that. Don't forget, it's Friday, so our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to head to a Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, some great itineraries out there now. Actually, Japan now. If you want to go over to Japan, that's pretty sweet. Get with one of the agents over at the Magic for Less. Just drop by themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the podcast. We'd appreciate that so much. And you might be planning a great Disney getaway, maybe to the other side of the world. You know, you can do it with Cruise Line, you can do it with Adventures by Disney. Or, speaking of food, hey, it tastes better when it's free. Some free dining still available, so check that out for Walt Disney World. Certain resorts and dates in the fall. So all the details over at themagicforless.com. Also, please do continue to use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. And give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, and of course at BeOurGuestPod as well. And again, drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to turn you loose and let you have a great weekend again. We have a lot of mothers that listen to the podcast, so happy Mother's Day to my mom out in St. Charles, and my wife, who's the best mom in the world. So happy Mother's Day to Pam. Happy Mother's Day to Pam Forrester here. We appreciate that. Donna for Ricky, Donna's mom, or Ricky's mom, Donna. I'm not even saying that right. But just in all the mothers in the world, happy Mother's Day to you. I'm messing everything up, so I'm going to get out of here. So anyway, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Friday. Whatever you do, stay safe this weekend, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.